First, be honest now. If you have an office job and things are a little slow, do you ever sneak in a round of computer solitaire? It's quiet. You look like you're actually doing work if people can't see your screen. Just ask Pam and Jim on The Office. The iconic game from Microsoft is one of the newest inductees to the World Video Game Hall of Fame. The other three this time around are Colossal Cave Adventure, Mortal Kombat, and Super Mario Kart. The Hall of Fame is part of the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, New York. John Paul Dyson is the director of the museum's International Center for the History of Electronic Games. John Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm really glad to be here.
Well, it's a terrible question to ask you here, John Paul, but I'm going to ask it right off the start. Do you have a favorite from the four new inductees?
You know, I have a personal favorite, which is Colossal Cave Adventure, which is probably the one that people have heard of the least. And that's because I played it back in 1982 when my parents got an Osborne personal computer, which is a portable computer the size of a suitcase. And my brother and I spent the summer playing it and eventually beating it.
Now, Colossal Cave Adventure, I don't think I ever played that version, but I think I played a different one just called Adventure. This is the one where, you know, on the screen it'll say you are at the mouth of a cave and you say walk east, right? And you just, it's all text.
Right, exactly. It's the same game. It was called Adventure, and later on they sort of started calling it Colossal Cave Adventure when it became more of a commercial game. And there were no graphics. It was all your imagination and the words you could enter. And it felt really magical at the time. It was not quite as pervasive as Windows Solitaire.
And why does a game, these four or the past inductees, what makes a game significant enough to make it into the Hall of Fame?
Well, there are hundreds of thousands, probably at this point millions of games out there. And we really identify four criteria. The first is icon status. Is it iconic? The second is geographical reach. Is it played across national boundaries? Third is longevity. Did it last? And the fourth is probably the most important, which is influence. And that's a game like Colossal Cave Adventure was tremendously influential on other games, especially.
Well, let's look at the influence then that Colossal Cave Adventure had. Now, I know I was of the right age that I played that. It was just everywhere. And then there was a line of games, Zork and other text adventures that followed on it with similar formats, but kind of fancier stories. This kind of it kind of made it clear that you could make games on a computer in some ways.
Right. It's really the first computer game that opens up these imaginative possibilities, these pretend worlds that people think, wow, you can do something here other than maybe just a simulation, which might have been there before, or a simple game like a Pong-style game. And so it really opened these immersive worlds and set the course not only for games like Zork, which is a text-based adventure, but all the role-playing games, the fantasy games like World of Warcraft, or EverQuest, games like that, that have really come to dominate so much of the imagination, especially multiplayer games.
Now, staying in the realm of not super fancy graphics, we get a little graphics here. Solitaire, Microsoft Solitaire, I think it just came with the computer for many people. That's been around on computers for a long time. Take us back to when Microsoft Solitaire first showed up on our computers.
So Microsoft Solitaire is one of those games that turned almost everyone into a gamer who had a computer. You know, he may not have played a game like Colossal Cave Adventure, but you knew Solitaire. And so when you got this new computer with Windows 3.0, all of a sudden there was this game package on there, Solitaire, which you probably knew how to play from regular cards. And so you started clicking and dragging. And through clicking and dragging, you also then learned to use this new device that came with your computer, which was a mouse. And that was sort of the quiet, stealth reason that Microsoft put it in there, in part, was to help people understand how to use this new thing that you need to move the cursor around with on the computer.
We are talking about the history of video games, the new inductees into the Video Game Hall of Fame. John Paul Dyson is with us from the International Center for the History of Electronic Games. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite all-time video game or computer game, however you want to slice and dice those phrases, what would you want to see in the Hall of Fame? Or do you have a question about whether a favorite game of yours has made it in yet? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. John Paul, before we get to the other new inductees, I'm guessing a lot of times you get questions from people about why their favorite game isn't in the Hall of Fame or not yet. I know one of my all-time greatest time sucks, Civilization, and its sequels, isn't in there. It was one of the nominees this year, though.
Right. Sid Meier's Civilization was nominated this year. It has not yet made it over the top, and it's a pretty high hurdle. It's only 24 games right now into the World Video Game Hall of Fame. I was looking at a list earlier, I think, I guess that game's not in there yet. So people can nominate their favorite game, and we take those very seriously.
All right, let's get back to this year's inductees. This is one, I'm guessing a lot of people would be behind this one, Super Mario Kart. It's the characters from Super Mario Brothers, a series that's gone on forever, racing each other on go-karts. What made that one special?
Well, interesting, it's our first racing game that gets in, and it's also the game that really launched, I think, the Mario extended franchise, you might say. The Mario was already there as a game, but this is one that really brought anyone into the action. So you don't need to be a good gamer, a good person at racing games to feel like you actually have a chance in this one. I'm terrible at racing games, and I actually get in there and feel like, oh, maybe I'll win this time. Usually I still lose anyway, but it's a wonderful social game, and that's one of the things that, you know, some games like solitaire is, as the name says, is a solitary activity, but video games are often actually tremendously social, and so Super Mario Kart is a good example of how it brought people together to play in one space and really have a lot of fun together.
And have we seen that inspire a lot of other games where you sit down in person and I guess now sit down online to play together?
Right. The whole growth of online gaming has been huge. And it really is all over the board between games like Super Mario Kart, where you're all in the same room, you're talking to each other, to games where maybe you're on the wearing a headset and you're talking with people, games like Fortnite or Call of Duty, where there's online communication going on as you're playing. They're different types of social involvement with each other, but they're both highly social in nature.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Holly is with us in Wausau. Holly, hello.
Hi.
What games did you want to bring up, Holly?
I used to play Elder Scrolls, Morrowind, Oblivion, Skyrim. I've been playing World of Warcraft since the end of the Burning Crusade, and I've been playing on and off ever since.
Holly, thank you so much for sharing those. So those are two big Elder Scrolls. Now, I've never played this one, but John Paul, this has had, as she was saying, like a zillion different incarnations and versions and sequels over the years.
Right, and that's very common with video games. You get something that works and becomes a franchise, and whether it's different individual games that are all sort of linked together or expansion packs, World of Warcraft, for instance, which she mentioned as well, which is in the World Video Game Hall of Fame, is one of those where they're constantly adding new content that keeps the game fresh for the millions of players who play it.
And World of Warcraft, I'm not surprised that's in the Hall of Fame. Again, I haven't played the massive multiplayer version, but that really put that whole idea of having lots and lots of players interacting in the same game world on the map, right? That was the first big hit that did that, if I remember right.
Yeah, there were games like EverQuest and Ultima Online before then, but it was really the one that, in the public imagination, sort of, I think, cemented what it meant to join together and to be a part of a guild where everyone would, you know, rush home on Friday night because their guildmates were relying on them to go on a raid or something like that. And so it really was the game that popularized, I think, for the public imagination, that idea of what you call an MMO, a massively multiplayer online game.
We're talking about this year's inductees to the World Video Game Hall of Fame. They include Microsoft Solitaire, Colossal Cave Adventure, Super Mario Kart, and Mortal Kombat. The hall is part of the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, New York. John Paul Dyson is with us, director of the museum's International Center for the History of Electronic Games. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have fond memories of playing any of those games? Which games do you think belong in the Video Game Hall of Fame? What's the first game you remember getting hooked on, if you've ever gotten hooked on a video game? What do you see your kids playing? What do you play today? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Fans of Super Mario Kart will recognize that music. We're talking about the World Video Game Hall of Fame's 2019 class. It includes Mario Kart, along with Colossal Cave Adventure, Microsoft Solitaire, and Mortal Kombat. The Video Game Hall of Fame is part of the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, New York. John Paul Dyson is with us, director of the museum's International Center for the History of Electronic Games. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Is there a game that shaped your childhood, your adulthood? If you played any of these Hall of Famers, do you have a favorite video or electronic game to play at the arcade, the home computer, the handheld, the console? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. John Paul, before we go back to our callers, let's talk about the fourth inductee we haven't talked about, one that people may have played first at the arcade, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat was this game that came out in 1992 and really raised this tremendous ruckus about violence in video games, especially. It was a game that was really released to combat another game that's in the World Video Game Hall of Fame, Street Fighter II. But it was a huge hit in the arcades. But then when it was ported to the homes, all of a sudden people saw all this violence being brought into the homes. Now, we look back at it now, and it seems sort of cartoonish and over the top, you know, so almost more like a cartoon we would have watched on Saturday morning than something to really take seriously. But at the time, people got quite exercised about it, and you may remember that Joe Lieberman, vice presidential candidate, went on stand and led this effort in the Senate to have video games regulated. And the result was that the video game industry, as industries often do, it's a similar pattern, for instance, with comic books or with movies, they tried to forestall Congress. And so they instituted their own ratings code, which is known as the ESRB. So when you go and buy a video game today at the store, it has a rating on there. And so it might be, for instance, might say mature for mature content. And one of the, unintended effects of this was actually by introducing ratings for older gamers, for adults who had grown up gaming or now wanted to keep playing, it actually introduced much more mature content into video games, which is something that players wanted, but may not have happened as quickly without all the controversy over Mortal Kombat.
Let's go back to our callers now. We have John on the line in Fitchburg. John, hello.
Hey, Rob. I just wonder what your guest thinks about good old Pac-Man.
Was that a favorite of yours, John, back in the day or maybe today?
Was my daughter, and I found it when she was a child, and she still loves it in her late 40s.
All right. Thanks a lot. So Pac-Man, John Paul.
Yeah, Pac-Man was obviously an extremely successful game, and it is in the Hall of Fame. And it's one of those games that really brought video games to wide attention. I mean, you had Pong before and Space Invaders, but there was Pac-Man fever. I mean, there were songs being written about,
right,
Pac-Man, birthday parties. We have these truly atrocious Pac-Man costumes that you could have worn for Halloween back in 1980. And it was one of the most successful games of all time. And actually, it inspired a sequel, which is not by the same company. It was sort of a hack called Ms. Pac-Man, which is actually a better game. And I'm sort of waiting for Ms. Pac-Man to get into the Hall of Fame. Somehow, it hasn't been have made it yet, but I think it will eventually.
Now, what I think back about Pac-Man is that, okay, before that, you mentioned Pong. You had games that were like kind of like, you know, table tennis or something like that. Space Invaders, where you're shooting at stuff. Pac-Man, where did that come from? It demonstrated you could have weird ideas and make games out of them.
Right, exactly. The Japanese designer, I heard him say at a session one time, and who knows if this is the truth, he tried to think of a game that would attract girls. And he said, well, what do girls like to do? So they have to eat. Now, it seems pretty universal to me, but he said
that's
what inspired
too.
Him. Exactly. and supposedly the sort of pizza shape as well. So it does show that a video game can have almost any theme you want. I mean, you're talking later about the Oregon Trail, which is also in the World Video Game Hall of Fame. And there's almost no limit to what the themes are that a video game can pursue. And so we often think of video games as being linked with shooting or with battling. But really, you know, a game like The Sims, for instance, which is essentially like a digital dollhouse, is in the World Video Game Hall of Fame. And so there's endless possibilities. Pretty much any form of play that happens in the real world can be transformed and experienced in new ways in the digital world.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to AC in Madison now. AC, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you got for us?
Hey, I actually have two crazy games. Obviously, the one most popular would probably be like Pokemon Go. Everybody like is all over Pokemon Go. I mean, it breathes a great like sense of community for people to come together and play this game, because like a lot of the objectives, like raids and things, you can't really do on your own. So I think that one should definitely be a shoo-in. And then the one following is kind of a cult classic-y game that never actually got released, called Thrill Kill. We talked about Mortal Kombat and how grotesque it was. The Thrill Kill for its time is one of these games where like it got completely shelved and no one even wanted to pick it up because it was so grotesque.
Thanks for the call, AC. Well, pretty much opposite ends of the spectrum there. Let's start with Pokemon Go, John Paul.
Yeah, Pokemon Go is definitely an interesting game. I mean, it was based in, there's an earlier game called Ingress, but which used some of that same location-based sort of finding creatures. But Pokemon Go is a perfect marrying of that capability with the Pokemon franchise. And we have Pokemon Red and Green in the World Video Game Hall of Fame. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pokemon Go made it at some point. It's still a little young. I look back, and the most recent game we have is actually World of Warcraft, which is in 2004. So there are probably some games after that, but maybe a few years before Pokemon Go comes in. And Thrill Kill, I can honestly say, I don't think it's ever been suggested at all before for the World Video Game Hall of Fame. So,
all right. Thank you so much for that call. We're talking about the World Video Game Hall of Fame with John Paul Dyson from the International Center for the History of Electronic Games at the Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, New York. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234 with your favorite video games. Alex is with us in Fenimore. Alex, hi.
How's it going?
Good. What do you got for us, Alex?
Well, you know, it's really hard to pick just one with the width and breadth of games being everything from text adventure to cinematic endeavors. But I have to admit that my personal favorite has to be Zelda: A Link to the Past from the SNES.
And have you played a lot of the Legend of Zelda series, Alex?
I've played quite a few of the earlier games, but a lot of the newer ones have been lost on me up until the Breath of the Wild came out on Switch. And that is probably it's one of the few games that harkens back to that original one where it's literally go anywhere, do anything. But there's a little bit more focus with, you know, what you have to do.
Alex, thanks for the call. And that's another long series, John Paul, The Legend of Zelda and the various permutations of that.
Yeah, if Las Vegas were setting odds on which franchise would get two games into the World Video Game Hall,
really?
I think Zelda would have a good chance, especially people often cite Ocarina of Time, which is one of the earlier games. But yeah, I agree with that Breath of the Wild that the caller mentioned, which is what's often called an open world game. I think Holly earlier mentioned Skyrim too, which is sort of similar to that, where you can go anywhere, and it really speaks to the way that video games can open up these imaginative possibilities.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We heard from some people on Facebook as well, John Paul. Brandy says she would nominate Super Mario World. Now, you have Super Mario Kart. Are there no others from Donkey Kong on through the various Super Mario World games in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, so both Donkey Kong and Super Mario Brothers are both in the World Video Game Hall of Fame. Donkey Kong is where Super Mario originated. He was a plumber known as Jumpman, and he created by a guy named Shigeru Miyamoto, who's maybe the most prominent video game designer of all time. And his colors were perfectly designed to fit the limited graphical capabilities of an arcade machine, but they really stick. Back in the 90s, there was a survey done of kids. Who is more recognizable, Mickey Mouse or Mario? And I believe Mario won quite handily. So.
And we heard from Matthew on Facebook, who casts a vote for Tecmo Super Bowl. It's a football video game from the early 1990s. And that started a lively argument between Matthew and their friend over who beat who back in the day. And that makes me think, John Paul, I know some people here at work, they hit Tecmo Super Bowl at just the right time. It was a little after my prime time for gaming. How important is the generational background for which games resonate with one of us?
Definitely. The game you grew up playing, especially probably about the age of 12, seems to be about the signal age when it's branded in your memory and you go back. We actually have at the museum, we have a couple of good examples of that. One is a giant Super Mario Brothers controller. And I joke, it's the only game that parents can beat their kids at, because they sit down and that muscle memory is still there. But another example, again, is Oregon Trail. And people will come in and it'll be like being back at the math lab back in middle school. And all of a sudden you're gearing up for the adventure and going to head out and hoping you don't die of dysentery along the way.
Let's bring on another caller. Steven is with us in Madison. Steven, hi.
Hi. I was wanting to bring up including competitive esports into the Video Game Hall of Fame. My personal favorite is the Counter-Strike series.
Thanks for that call, Steven. So Counter-Strike series and those competitive esports, how are those changing the face of video games, John Paul?
It really is fascinating because for listeners who don't know, esports is where people are essentially watching other people play video games, which 30 years ago, people would have scoffed at that notion. And I remember being at one party in Buffalo recently where the Bills game wasn't on. They had an esports game on it. I thought, oh, okay, wow, times have changed here. So it's one of those things where it's really grown. It grew out of East Asia, especially. Korea was really the center of it. And that's one of the things you see about video games is one reason why we take geographical reach into account is that they're a worldwide phenomenon. And so trends go across the world. So, for instance, with mobile games, this idea of free-to-play, where you pay little bits to keep playing. A game like Candy Crush Saga, for instance, was a finalist this year. A lot of that started in places like China and Korea, where it was a way to have these microtransactions where you could make a little bit of money. So it's definitely a worldwide phenomenon, and esports is definitely part of that.
In our last minute or so, John Paul, what do you think the next generation of video games are going to look like?
You know, it's sort of this battle. On the one hand, we have games on our phone have become ubiquitous, and that's really turned so many of us into gamers. Even people who might not consider themselves a gamer, as we use that term, are likely playing some sort of game, whether it's Candy Crush or Words with Friends, something like that. On the other hand, you have this prospect of these virtual reality or augmented reality that came up earlier. And that's the sort of, I have sort of a wait and see attitude about things like virtual reality, for instance, because it's definitely going to be somewhere in the future, but there's that sometimes isolating effect of that. So we'll see how quickly it takes off. I think you'll see that more in things like training simulations and educational stuff, rather than lots of people running out to get VR headsets right away. It'll come eventually, I'm sure, but not maybe as fast as its boosters would like.
John Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Enjoyed it.
That's John Paul Dyson, director of the Strong Museum's International Center for the History of Electronic Games. We talked to them about this year's inductees into the World Video Game Hall of Fame. You can share your memories and your favorites at the Ideas Network Facebook page. And we'll talk about the Oregon Trail, a new twist from the perspective of Native Americans on the market now.